testing. We're holding in a Seva Emuna here, the second paragraph. It says, Prepare kol kisvei amir flakish, kol ona amin b'chol koho, posmol shari gan eden. Shenema pisru sharm v'yava got tzadik, shome amunim, atika shome amunim, ala sha'omrim amin. My amin, keil melech ne'ma. So the Gemara says, has famous Gemara, that says that if you ona amin b'chol koho, that posmol shari gan eden. And it says because answering Amen is a go shom emunim. Upirish davazeh ki emuna tzur koach v'chozek. So the first thing he is going to discuss is the inyan of b'chol kocho. Like, what's the point of answering Amen b'chol kocho? It's screaming or why is that a mila? Davin b'chol kocho doesn't say anywhere answering Amen b'chol kocho. So he says like this, Ki amuna tzorich, who pierced off is that, Ki mishu maimin bo yisbarach tzorshia b'chol kocho. Emuna is something that requires a kol kocho. Ki amuna tzorich koach b'chozek, ki moshe amayinu. Ki zeu inyan amuna, she omeid b'emunaso b'koach b'chozek, v'in esor min amunaso, o kach tzorich lanas amin b'chol kocho. He says the reason why amin requires b'chol kocho is because that's something that is innate emuna, the b'chol kocho aspect. I want to discuss it a little bit, this b'chol kocho point over here. Let's take an example. Let's say a person has a chair, and let's say the chair is carved out of solid wood. So it never ever falls apart. If the whole thing is carved out of one piece of wood, it stays the way it is. It will either break, disintegrate. It's not going to fall apart. Let's say the chair has feet that are attached to it, the way our chairs are. As soon as one feels that it's loose, it's not going to stay loose. It will disengage. And the reason is because once something sort of is no longer one with the other, it becomes a part. In other words, whatever is wobbly will fall out. I mean, the common experience is when you have a table or a tooth or whatever it is that has a tendency to fall out. It takes quite a while for it to go from being firm to being wobbly, but once it's loose, it's gone. The same thing when you screw two things together. If you screw two things together loosely, it is command the lesser dummy, nothing doing. That's norm. That's very much because it's an either or situation. That which is one doesn't fall apart. If it's not one, it is falling apart as it is. That's the mitzvah of it. So now, emuna we described last time is the sense of sticking to something. It's the sense of being one with something. So faith and trust means that if he said he's coming at 6 o'clock, it's like the sun rising at 6 o'clock. The sun, I don't ask myself, will the sun make it to there? Not, the sun is there at 6 o'clock. That person is there. The minute there is any doubt, or some doubt, it's gone. Emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a real way, means that I don't see the possibilities of an alternative. So when a person answers Amen, then the person is actually, he's saying that this is a metzius, and therefore the b'chol kocho means there's no room for hesitation. It's just like, you know, the Gemara has an expression, in v'lav v'rafya b'yade. Somebody said yes and no, and he was kind of weak on it. If a person's emuna is not rock solid, If it's not total, then it is not. Because even the big, the bit of faith that a person has goes very quickly. So the b'chol kocho is an absolute necessity in emunah because it's an essential quality, rather than just saying, oh, he said it very, very, very loudly. B'chol kocho, kind of the sense of it is not the loudness, but it means no hesitation, no punch is pulled. It's something that is done, b'chol kocho, means it is totally, the statement and the person are one. I haven't left any room for a disclaimer of hesitation. Two. And he says the word no'ol means it's something that is really outside of my norm. It's not something that I am comfortable, it's normally part of my life. Vani'ila azois, why? Shadova gash no'olifanav hadova bovigashmi. The world of things that are not physical, the world of things that are ruchnis, is set aside for myself. When a person answers amen, then the person is actually mizdabik in Hashem. So he says, the only time that it's shayach to really believe in it is if you are one with it. Let's explain this point. There's an expression, colloquially, we use the following type of expression. If in our sense of trust in a person, we tend to ask ourselves, do I really, really know this person? Can I identify with his thought process completely? When the type of people that we feel are kind of, there's a reserve of space, there's sort of a cache of space between what they're saying and what they're thinking, or what their position is to what they really believe or feel, there's a lack of trust in that area. Because there's a pocket over there that I'm not sure what he's thinking in the back of his mind. That's kind of the expression we use. I don't have full trust. Where I feel that I understand the person exactly, and that every bit of his thinking is not strange to me, I'm familiar with it all, I identify with it, and I know that if he said he's going to do X, he's doing X, and so on, that becomes an amuna and a dveikus together. Notice, my faith in something is as good as I am completely aligned in it. If a person, let's say a doctor wants to try a procedure on a patient, and he asks a patient, and the patient asks him, well, how successful is it? Now, if the doctor has just read about it, but never actually performed it, he'll answer, well, I have very reliable statistics, it's 95% success, and so on and so forth, 100% success. But there's some element of distance. I read it, and that's what they all say. But let's say he himself performs it day in, day out, and performs that procedure, and every single patient has just got off the table and walked off and been well, then the person feels very comfortable with it. Whenever we have trust in something, we have a muna, it's because we're totally identified with it. For a person that there's a distance between him and the ruchnistic world, the ruchnistic world is not quite his world, it's there. So the emuna in those inyanim is also somewhat qualified. It can't be that I totally have identify with it. Masha'ein Kain, the person who identifies with it because he knows the emes, mukhletes, in that world, that person is also davek HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So poso shaygan eden means that the person is really part and parcel with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on. Ulefikach roi leftocho gan Eden. Ki ha'odom asher boi ha'muno bo yisbarach. Roi le gan Eden. Asher sham ha'netiyas asher not Hashem yisbarach. Ve'heim netuim b'chozeh. Ve'gam orim azeh shubal ha'muno. Ve'netiyach hazak am Hashem yisbarach. Asher kol ha'ruchos boz in mazizim osu memekomo. U'be'monosoy Moshe el Avram. Ulefikach ro'ui leftocho shai gan Eden. Let's talk about this point. Let's describe this Nekuda here. We talk about Gan Eden as being something which has a trees. There's a reason why Gina is the description of Gan Eden. I mean, we wonder why is Gan Eden a place of trees. It's we call it Eitz Asher Tochagam Tochelu, or Me Eitz Adas Tovaralosochelu, and so on. So we really need to ask ourselves, what's the inyan? What's this inyan Matiya? So when there are different forms of the way in which we connect to the ground. A house sits on the ground, and it tends to sit for a very, very long time, hopefully, but it's not organically connected to the ground. Plants are things that grow from the ground, and they are of the ground, but once you cut it, it's gone. That's plants. So it came from the ground, but once cut, it's a different idea. Trees are of the ground, in the ground. They are rooted in the ground and anchored in the ground, and they continue to give pears as the tree is sort of a conduit from the ground to keep giving pears. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha may be perceived as that which brought things into being, but we don't see the ongoing sense of it. So in the world of grain, for instance, that's something which is a cut off. So we recognize that the origin was of it, but we don't recognize at all that there was a that it is of it as it's there. The Bria, the Tzura of the Bria that has a certain shlemus in it, is the Bria of a tree, where you see the hemshech coming from the ground as you're eating the pears. I want to extend this a little bit. I want to broaden it a bit. It's interesting that Shavuos and Pesach, Chazal, the Mishnah Hashanah says that each Hashanah is Yom HaDin for something. There's a Yom HaDin on the Chag for Mayim, which we understand very well. Well, let's go back. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin on, you know, Kol Bo Olam, and that we understand very, very well. There's a Yom HaDin for water, which is something that we understand also. Water is the source of life, really. There's a Yom HaDin on Pesach for the Tevuas HaSadeh, which also, the most basic food is grain, and that's the source of food. It's not like water, we need it every day, but it's still very vital. So Ad Kan, we're good with the three Rosh Hashanahs. The Rosh Hashanah that we have a problem with is Shavuos, which is Peiros Eilim. Peiros in the Gemara are always a delicacy. It's something which is sweet and it's pleasant and it's a sort of a dessert type thing, which is very nice. But one wouldn't put it in the same footing as food, water, and certainly not life itself. So what's this Yirma Din on Peiros? Like, you know, are we going to have, pineapple and mangoes And that's a Yom HaDin, and we bring Shtalecha for that, and so on and so forth. Alidavahu, it sits on the same footing in the Mishnah, and it's something that's very, very hard to understand where that comes in. So the those two in Yanim are really zeh keneged zeh of Pesach and Shavuos. Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us chesed elamim. He took us out of Beis Avodim and gave us freedom, and he showered tremendous amount of chesed on us. But that's it. There's no way to see it as long as we don't have the Torah. We don't have it. There's no fixed pipeline between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us. There is no tree that's rooted in the one hand HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the other hand in and then in us. There's no sense of where that Hashpah comes from, where that Hashpah goes to. When Torah was given, we deherred that the Sacha Kol, those mitzvahs, are not just tzivuyim. Those mitzvahs are payers of a certain ilah. There's a certain, it's something which is a conduit for Hashpah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Basav Adam. The deherring it as a conduit happens when it's given a Tzura Perse Ila. So once we have Torah, we understand mitzvahs. It's like the difference between somebody delivering a basket of fruit to my doorstep, me not having any trees, and maybe not even knowing where trees exist. So all I have are apples, and that's particular chesed, it's particular ma'isa. Or I have a tree and I see the apples growing from it, where I see the hamshacha coming from the shoresh and going out to the pri. And that means the pri now becomes a real chibur. Even when I'm eating the peiros, the pri becomes a chibur between me and its shoresh. So with the giving of the Torah, the ruchnistic world of Torah and mitzvahs changed from being just things dumped on the world, the pratistic items, or a real hashgacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us, a sort of understanding of ongoing hemshah. It's interesting that Chazal, there's one medrash that Eitz Hadas was a chita, because Eina Tina Tidea Likroi Imoi eats a chita, chita gives a person das, maisa das, maisa macha, and so on. It's strange because we really don't have any sense of how chita could be a tree. It's by no stretch of imagination. I mean, I've read these notes here and there that there are chita that grows very tall, fine. But it's still prima darsheni. A tvua is opposed to pears. Where's the pears? I think the answer is that gufa is a chelik of the kilkel. I want to describe that. It says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the tree, the tam eitz and the tam period was shaveh. The shallow understanding of that is that we would have had more pears. In other words, if a person eats an orange, tastes orangey, if a person, in those days, he could have also sliced off a piece of tree and tasted orange. Fine. So, l'mayin afkamina, we have enough oranges to eat all the oranges we want, plus the orange juice, plus the orange jam. There's not much more. I mean, was fehlt uns? What are we missing that we don't have the tree also tasting? I mean, it would be neat, kind of, that you could sort of maybe munch on the leaves as well. I mean, what's the inyan of having the pre eight and the pre of the tam eight and tam pre shaveh? And the answer is, it's the exact opposite. Right now, because the tam of the pre is different than the tam of the eight, then we inherit as a product, but there's some distance. It's hard for me to see the eights in the pre when it has two different timing. And therefore, I am forced to sort of conclude that these are two different elements. But when things are kitikunai, then the time of the eights and the pre are one and the same. I deher the hemshech advarim of all of the chachmas in Torah itself. The chelik of Torah that especially is there to give over this inyan of the hemshechius of the sheirish to the pre is the inyan of it's chachmas apnim. The tachlis of chachmas apnim is to be able to see that betzim all manifestations of ruchnius in this world are uniqueus from Hamid Rasha. The sefer that we have that gives us over the sedes of Chochmas HaPnim is called Eitz Chaim, and the sefer that teaches us the lemaisa de kavanas and the mitzvahs that this Eitz Chaim really dictates, that this Eitz Chaim gives forth, is called fittingly pre-Eitz Chaim. It's sort of, these are the pairs. This is the Teichen, and these are the pairs. So pre-Eitz Chaim means that there's Eitz Chaim, and these are the pairs that are given forth from the Eitz Chaim. So Gan Eden was a Gan. It was a pshat where everything in this world that was all fruits, so to speak, born in this world, were connected to the ground, and they were the herd as a hemshecha of the inyanim. So that was the Gan Eden. So a person who's a balamuna means that he sees very clearly the kesher between the bayir and the nivra. He dehers it as everything happening as being a hamshach of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's a person that the shayach to Gan Eden. Mitzorach lezekoach, he says, ki shari Gan Eden einhem ne'ulim kasher manu, ka maila nevdeles nolif v'adam agashem. This maila is a maila of ruchnis, and it's definitely it's apart from a person's gashmis. So if he does it bekocho, and he forges that bond with the shoresh, then we're posel shagan eden. Okay, one more point he explains here on the meaning of omein. Umasha omein my omein keil melech ne'amon. Kleima ki b'milas omein dovek b'yisvarach. Utchila yesh lo dveikus b'yisvarach b'mashu keil, ki shem keil hu koidim el ha'odom, v'chakach shem melech, v'chakach mashu yisvarach ne'amon. V'dovel zeh magiyat enkeit v'sayit. So the Maral explains that Keil Melech Ne'eman, one is Kineged HaKadosh Baruch Hu Keil, which is a Sheirish. It's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the creator. Melech is present tense, in other words, the ongoing relationship with people. It says in the Faith Figure of Laws, there's no Melech without an Am. That means you can't really be a melech a minute before there's an am, and you can't be melech after am. A melech and an am is the ongoing relationship. And then there's neman, which is the osit. I want to describe what that means. Whenever I predict asidus, longevity, I do it on the following basis. Like we said before, if someone comes and he paints a chair brown, and I ask him how long will that brown color last, I'll say it'll last a year, let's say. If somebody puts a veneer of wood, of brown wood on the chair, I would say the last 3 years, 4 years, whatever. If let's say I have a chair that's solid wood, solid, I don't know, oak, it'll be brown, l'neitach netzachim. The only way I can make the prediction of forever is because this is what it is. Time will erode anything that is not in its natural state. The Rambam or Nebuchadnezzar says this as a very, very axiomatic principle in understanding the welfare of the world. He says that Murkavim, things that are complex, meaning not what they are in essence, but by by sort of mikra, by combination, those things are destined to fall apart. And this is a world of havaya and hefsid, because everything is merkavos. So the only time when future becomes as firm as past and present is when I believe the past and the present are not mikrim, but essential properties. And one of the tricks of science is we see a phenomena that's quantifiable. Is this going to last or not? Am I witnessing a permanent phenomena or not? The question really is, am I witnessing an essential property or something that came about because of something or other? That's a very, very strong test of what it is, of the statement that I'm making here. So, Kael Melech Ne'eman is when I say that I believe this to be of a quality that is essential and not mikra. I want to explain a certain puzzling element about Amen. It says that God Lain Amen Yisem Avarech, that if the one who answers Amen is bigger than Avarech. And that's always very, very puzzling. How can you be better? The person who makes the bracha actually went through the effort. He took out an apple, he made a big bracha, a lot of kapana, and great. The guy standing by says, Amen. So, what's so special about it? I mean, it's nice. It's nice. He sort of adds his little two cents that he agrees. He's in agreement with what he said. Okay, that's fair. But what's this gadol and so on? The answer is Kael and Melech. The Mavarach also makes when a person picks up a fruit and he says Baruch Atah Hashem of Kainu Melech Ha'olam. So the person is observing a phenomenon based on his anoa now. He can make a statement about Kadosh Baruch Hu as creator and Kadosh Baruch Hu now. That's what he's doing. The observer on the side, his confirmation is, and this is the Etzem, what it is. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Kael Melech, the Etzem, and it will always be that way. That which he created will exist, and that he didn't create won't exist. The phenomena that he created in Bereishis will stay, and other phenomena will not stay. I give you a marshal. If let's say I meet somebody, a close friend of yours, and I come and say, you know, I met your friend Chasko. I must tell you, he's a pleasant person, a very nice person. He was very pleasant, and we had a very nice meeting. And you'll reply, well, that's him. That's what he is. I mean, you met him once, and then we had a nice meeting, but I want to tell you, that's what he really is all about. That's a very, very, he's confirming it, not just confirming that, yes, you're right, but confirming that you hit on something which is be'etzem, and not something that is be'mikre. And my father's a kind of rafa, was from Lithuania, and they were under Russian, under communist dominion for about a year, right before World War II, during World War II, actually. And there was a lot of jokes about life under communism, and one of the jokes, you know, one of them was that in communist Russia, even though in Lithuania was not a rich country, but there was always what to eat, and there wasn't a problem, and you know there were goods and there was what to eat. But when the communists took over, so someone said that every communist store has two people sitting behind the desk, you know, the counter. The job of the first one is that when you ask them, do they have X or Y or Z, his answer is, no, we do not have it. The second person's job is to add, and we will not have it. The confirmation of the acid is something which is it tells me that it gives an entirely different dimension to the statement you made. So the mevarach statement was behold bria v'kadosh baruch hu, and the person answered amen made a much deeper and more essential observation. He added something to what the other person said. If you would like parallel to it, there's an extremely deep parallel to it. It says, the Ramban says that the world was created with the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Ma'amarim, every time the Asarim Ma'amarim created the world and so on. It says, Vayar Lekim, it's called Asha'asa Vine Tov Ma'od, it says, the Re'ia of HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirmed all the existence of everything. In other words, what gave it its kiyum was HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking back and saying, Tov Ma'od. So I want you to get a little bit of a feel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bracha with Bris Olam. He put into motion the Borei Pri Eitz, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Amen to his bracha with the Re'iyah. That's if somebody who hears the full import of the words, that's the import of the words. So he says, this is really eternal. Whenever I deal with something that is essential, I deal with something that is boundless. It says, if somebody answers Amen, is Marich LaYoma Vishnoisov. We've spoken many times before already that Arichas Yomim is, when we speak about longevity, we're not speaking about Ribu Yomim. Ribu Yomim means many days. In other words, each one is a discrete piece and you have many of them. When you speak about arichos, you're speaking about a phenomena that continues, that lasts, that exists, and therefore you have a you have things that are shayach to arichos yomim, and therefore arichos yomim is a it's a description of something which has inherent existence. It's something which is a it's kiyum, like it says before, of enkeitz and soif. So the marich layomim, it means that in Chazal always teach marach layomim yom shekula aruch, yom shekula tov. Yom shekula aruch means it's a day that lasts because it's not just an other day. It's a day which it's kiyum is nitzchiistic. So we have over here the inyan of Arichas Yomim, which is the inyan that fits most for the Eretz Yomim. So, just wrapping up, the inyan of Amen is it's an expression of emuna. In as much as emuna is an identification with the essential description of something, that things that are part of a nitzchias, things that are part of something essential, that's called emuna. So answering amen is that the b'chol koichi means that any hesitation, if emuna is less than 100%, then it's not quite emuna. It's something which is, when you validate something, confirm something, if the validation is probably, possibly, nearly so, it's a zero validation. So that's why Munas. It's place of Shaganet, and even is the place where the Bria is set up in a way where everything is mushrish in a certain shorish, and we see the hemshich from the shorish to the Paris. Okay, good. Okay.